irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, September 25th. I'm here without Rachel, but I'm not alone. Rachel is out on vacation for this week, and we're going to be joined by an incredible lineup of people, starting with Bridget.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Bridget.
Thank you.
Do you want to give out your last name?
Fettesy.
Fettesy it is.
Fettesy.
And what's the background? Is that like...
No, it's a word I made up.
Oh, it is. Okay. Well, it sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
And it's a cool name.
Sorry. Yeah. I won't bore you.
So, Bridget, you've been on the show before. You're a friend of Rachel's.
I have, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you. What do you do?
I'm a writer and a comedian, and I have a podcast, and I just like to be creative for the most part. But yeah, I write for Playboy and for The Federalist, which might seem opposing, but they're not too far away.
What is The Federalist?
I would say probably libertarian to right centered, like another outlet, and
right.
I write for like Vice, the Tonic sometimes, and new magazine called Mel. And
so you write what, like opinion or
it just depends. Yes, for the Federalist primarily opinion. For Playboy, I generally do a column. I do the advisor in the magazine, which is people ask me questions and then I answer. Column that's been in the magazine forever. And then online I do a column, and it just depends on the nature of that column. Last week I worked on one that was about choking, where I interviewed experts and talked to people. And then sometimes it's my opinion. I did one about just because I'm kinky doesn't mean I'm not wife material. And
I like
then
that.
Then sometimes I, you know, get quotes from the hive mind about things. It just really depends on the topic.
Yeah. Now, so for Playboy, what kind of questions do people ask you?
Oh, God, everything. I opened up my direct...
I mean, is it like sex questions?
Yeah.
Oh,
everything.
Oh, okay. So you like that.
I mean, yeah.
You're very informed with that.
Yeah, I've learned a lot.
Are you free with your sexuality and everything?
Yeah. I was Catholic, so I'm recovering. I'm reacting
Catholic,
to that.
Right?
No, I think that, you know, the thing I love and that I've really come to deeply respect... working at Playboy is sex is everything. There's when you actually get into the psychology with people and the questions that they ask, there's so much, even with the choking thing, like learning about how death and sex are so closely connected, and that these experts have found that generally people's feelings about death are very linked very closely to their sexuality, and there's shame and often trauma, and there's joy and pleasure, and it's everything. It's like eating. It's so basic to who we are as humans. And I have a deep, I'm pretty humbled by the ability that I've had to talk to people and experts, and I just learn more and more. So it's really, and it's bottomless. There's really just endless.
That's true, you know, and I also say that, you know, like Freud, he sort of like connected everything to sex and stuff. But I think there's a lot to it, you know, because I think sex is a very like traumatic discovery for a child, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like, where did this come from, you know? And I remember early on I was exposed to pictures and stuff, you know, just because back in the 60s, the world was a lot freer then.
Right.
Although now it's easier to see porn than it used to be, you
right.
know, with the internet and stuff.
But there's a lot of mixed messages now.
Right. Mm. And then, you know, many people, you know, God forbid, get abused and things
right.
like that. You know, they're exposed to things. And then you connect everything with sex, you know.
Right.
It becomes like, it totally screws you up. And then, you know. And
not
then,
always, but yes. There's
yeah,
a lot
you know.
Of issues around it usually.
Yeah. But, Yeah, but you know, I think the fact that people don't talk about it and all this stuff, it makes it even more mysterious, right. And, you know, like the forbidden fruit,
right.
So to speak.
It creates, I think that generally when you repress anything, it creates a dark shadow. So yeah. If it's interesting, and in general, if you are traumatized in some way around your sexuality or when you're learning about sex or in your youth or even in your adulthood, oftentimes we'll pathologize or fetishize that trauma in order to and continue to try and repeat it so that you can heal it. So it's fascinating. If I ever go back to school, I'll probably get a degree in like evolutionary biology and sexuality or something. There's so much too that is at work that is just right. Thousands of years of evolution.
I know. It's got to be, I mean, sex got to be one of the strongest motivators out there, you know? And I wanted to bring this up. We do, by the way, have awesome, awesome guests here, and you guys are going to be blown away. We're just going to take a couple minutes just to talk to Bridget a little bit. But, you know, we talk about people doing things for sex, right? Anthony Weiner just got 20 months in prison.
That's a segue.
Right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, it has to do with the fact that 21 months. It screws people and they do stupid things.
Yeah, there's a big debate about whether sex is, you know, whether sex addiction is real. There's a man who wrote a book. Some people say it isn't. Some people say it is. I do think he obviously had like some kind of problem.
Right.
Where it literally destroyed his life. He self-destructed doing these things.
You see, I just think that, you know, when men are horny, all the blood goes down to their genitals. And then they don't think. There's no blood left in the brain. And that's how it seems to me. Because people are doing stupid things, throwing away their careers for stupid things that, you know, I mean, you know, how much did he really get out of this, you know? So it like, you know, because he was texting with a minor.
Mind
that's
you, this was after he was already destroyed.
Right?
So it wasn't like he hadn't already suffered extreme consequences for this behavior.
Right, but
that is the behavior
himself,
of it.
Right?
That is the behavior of
an addict.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I know, they don't think about it. Wow. That's pretty heavy stuff. So that's cool. And so you went to school. What did you go to school?
No, I didn't. I dropped
out. Oh, because you said I'd go back to school.
That's what I mean. If I went back to finish.
I see. Okay.
As in if I went in the first. I went for like a half of a year and then I dropped out.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have. I didn't want to have massive school debt. I kind of saw the path and I was like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be a writer, and I always knew that, and I didn't see the point of writing. I hated writing other people's stuff, and right. I read voraciously, so yeah. People are like, why did you drop out of college? I'm like, because I can read. It didn't seem necessary for the, after one half of a year, the debt I already had.
But let me ask you this. Does it have to be debt-related when you go to school? Because let me tell you, when I went to school, so I didn't go to a big school. I went to Cal State Northridge here. But I did get a degree, pretty good school,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't cost me anything. I mean, I went to work, and, you know, here I was able to live, so I didn't have to live on campus. And I went to school, you know. And
no, California is good like that. It depends if you go to a state school.
Or if you go, you know, that's the thing. You don't have to go away to school. That's what people don't understand.
Yeah, but
know?
I was in Minnesota at the time.
Yeah,
so.
But you have schools there too. You
oh,
know?
No.
That's what I'm
yeah.
saying.
No, there are
so,
no schools
no,
there.
But
yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I in the circumstances that I was in, I was paying and I would have created debt. And to be honest, I just didn't want to be in school. I felt like I was in jail when I was in high school, and then I felt like I was in jail that I was paying for. And I love academia. I'm not. I actually was good at the system, but I didn't know enough of what I wanted. I was getting a degree in communications, which is like getting a degree in like this, basically what we're doing.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is that. You don't have to go to school. I mean, you seem to be very intelligent to me, and you haven't gone to school. So, you know, I just don't go with the complaints that people have about school debt, because first of all, I went to school without creating one, but these people are like, yeah, I want to go to the best school. Well, then it costs money, you know. I mean, what do you want? You're gonna make a lot of money when you get out of school because you're going to a good school, right? Get into a good program and everything. You'll be able to pay off your debt.
Well, it's guaranteed.
Of course it's not guaranteed, but there are no guarantees in life.
No, but I think that if you're making a choice to go to school and get a degree in liberal arts or history, yeah, then right. You're going to have a hard time paying off your debt. And you should consider that before you go to an expensive liberal arts college where you're racking up lots of debt. If you are specializing in something, then ultimately or theoretically, it would pay for itself. But again, you are going to pay more money for that specialization if you go to a good private school.
Exactly.
You know. I do know a lot of people who are I think that school debt is the next big bubble, because yeah. There are a lot of people who are underwater with their student loans, and when that bubble bursts, it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. But that's the thing. They want free education, and somebody's going to have to pay for that. And I for one, don't want to have to pay for someone who prefers education at the best school, and, you know, and when other people are going to school who can't afford to even have the debt, and they go to school and they're fine citizens.
Right.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. If you want luxury, if you want extra, then you pay for it, not me.
Yeah, I don't think that you should have to pay for it.
Yeah, but that's what the liberals want. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what they want.
Yeah.
But they want free education? Is that
yeah,
true?
Like college education, free everything, you know, all state supported, you know.
Okay.
But we won't get into politics. Who cares? We'll get
too
into some other
term. Exactly. I haven't even finished my coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
They ruined my football, so now F everybody. I'm so angry.
Why did they? You know what? Let's bring in our guests. We can talk about the football
bring
thing.
In.
Okay.
So, they're so fascinating.
I know, because I feel bad about keeping people sitting and they start losing
jump them in.
Their interest and everything.
They're rearing to go.
Our guests are coming back. They're the Sentimentalists, and you'll find out in a minute why they call themselves that way. We're joined by Mr. Mysterian and Steffi K. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Thank you for coming.
We're so happy to be back.
Yes, I know.
We love it.
You
here.
Guys are Canadian,
so
right?
Yeah.
You guys live where in Canada?
In Toronto.
In Toronto.
Yes.
Soon. I mean, soon. Cool. I'm like a little confused this morning. But so, Steffi, you lost your voice with all the shows you've been doing?
Yes.
Really?
Half there, half
so,
not.
So, I mean, what do you do? Like, you shout during the show or what?
No, we just do so many shows.
Oh, wow. And you talk a lot, huh?
Mysterion does most of the talking, but I get in there quite a bit.
I set it up, and she goes for the throat, you know.
That's good. So tell us what it is that you guys do.
Well, as you know, and as some of your listeners know, we're mentalists. We use psychology to create a world of psychic entertainment and impossible feats and reading your mind, essentially. I mean, why talk about it when we can give you an example?
Yes, please.
So this is an effect that we love to do, and we're going to do it with you. We've never discussed this in advance. We said hi. We just met for the first time 15
minutes ago. They're strangers.
Right.
And what I want you to do is I want you to take this pad of paper and this pen, mm-hmm. And I want you to write down the name, let's say, just the name of someone you know. You know, you were mentioning earlier on that you had a friend that you had a ghostly experience.
That's the name that I immediately thought of when you asked me this question.
I just picked that up. And I thought that that's who you would pick. And you didn't say that person's name. Is that right?
No, I didn't.
Okay, Steffi, close your eyes. She's going to turn away, and she's looking the opposite direction. I'll instruct everyone what's going on.
Right, Steffi's got her eyes closed. She's turning away.
Print down the name, and I'm allowed to look. I'm not going to say anything or
tap her. But you're
like
sort
that.
Of like the conduit, right?
I'm definitely. You know how I like to refer to it? Is that I'm the Wi-Fi connection.
Mm-hmm.
You're the website, and she's the tablet. So you have to go through me to get to her.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's do this.
I wrote down the name, and he has it. Well,
he has it on the upside down, right? Did you see it yet?
I always look first.
Right. So, no, I mean, you're supposed to see the name, right? But Steffi doesn't know it.
No.
Well, actually, when Bridget told us the story, she'd mentioned two friends. She mentioned a male friend and a female friend. And the main focus of the story was actually on the male friend that she was with. But then she didn't pick the male friend's name. She actually picked the girl's name, and her name is Sarah.
What?
What?
How do you do that?
Yeah, you see?
That's crazy.
That's your first question, right?
Exactly. Well, what's written on
that is paper. How do you do that? Did you tap her foot? Do
nothing.
You guys have a
code? I'm over here. If you look at me, I'm over
you
here.
You see, that's the thing.
I'm going to look under the table, and there will be hooves.
Nothing. Listen, I'm going to be, yeah, there'll be exactly. Look at my ring. So one thing that we want to always make clear is we never use electronics or any type of technology in our show other than microphones or at times, of course, the lights or things like that. That would be maybe a camera that would be on stage to project us on a big screen. But we would never use anything like a tapper or a thing that would thump a message to our Morse code. We never do. We never will. It's the most authentic to the turn of the last century. We love to style ourselves both in appearance and in performance to the golden age of magic, the 1920s and 30s. Mm-hmm.
There you go. And you guys can follow us. Go to the sentimentalistsmagic.com, and you guys can see our guests, and you can read about them and everything. I can attest to the fact they invited us to the Magic Castle the last time they were here.
Oh, okay.
And both Rachel was there with her boyfriend, and I came, and it was just amazing to see them in action, you know. And they have the entire act together, you know. So it's not just the tricks themselves. But what I learned when you guys came here, did you see how your first question is, how did you do that, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what comes to mind. But then I realized I don't want to know how they do that, because it's entertaining to me just the fact that they do, you know?
Right.
That they manage to do this is pretty cool, you know? And like you said, it's for entertainment, you know? They don't claim to do any like paranormal stuff, right?
No.
That's not what this is about. Right?
I believe in that stuff, though.
Do you?
You're free to have
well,
your
they
opinion,
can pretend to be
even
that
though it's
too.
Wrong.
This friend, actually, she is the friend that we were like psychic little kids. And we would, I mean, just the other day I was thinking about her and she texted me. We have that just telekinetic connection. And we
telepathic.
Yeah. And we always, that's the word. And we just always believed in it. And we always used to work on it where we would practice it. And I believe in that stuff. Laugh all you want, Sam.
No. Let me tell you something, okay?
I'm going to move this coffee cup my mind right now. I'm blowing you away.
No, listen. No, we have psychics on the station here. Sometimes I wonder if there's something to it, but I just don't believe in anything super normal, you know? I don't think people have,
like gravity.
Superpowers and shit, you know? But what I did want to ask you guys, I mean, you're involved in this, and people probably ask you about psychics and all this stuff, paranormal. If you said doesn't exist, right, in your opinion?
They exist. They're right down the road in their, you know, place of business, sitting there reading cards and palms, but that doesn't mean they're doing anything supernatural.
Right, exactly. So it's more magic, or
well,
would you say?
You know,
or
we can
psychology.
Use body language, or sometimes people tell us things unknowingly, and we bring it back up later in the presentation, and it looks like it was a miracle, when in reality it was just being very observant of the people that we're sitting with and performing for.
Amazing. So, you know, if that's the case, why do you think, I mean, sometimes we hear about police departments using psychics as like a last resort. Do you think it actually works?
I think they do so often, and then, you know, every so often you get a hit.
You get a hit, right?
Right?
Yeah. So they think that's what it is, yeah. That's
don't you
true,
think
you
there's
know?
So I mean, much we don't know, though? I mean,
but there's so much we do
there's
know.
So much we don't perceive, and there's so many, there's I'm, like I was saying to you before, I worked with autistic kids, and I feel like they're tapped into something else, like another sense that we might not be completely using. So
I wouldn't call it another sense. It would be a different point of view or a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be how you might be perceiving somebody who's a little bit more intuitive about the environment or more focused on something where we would just overlook it. And so they might be able to inadvertently recognize patterns. And so patterns that would come up, in life, perhaps somebody's pattern that I lost my train of thought there. Let me try to explain this to you the best that I'm visualizing it in my mind. Imagine you were to have the same experience over and over again, and you were creating a bank in your mind of whatever that experience was, and so you could actually predict based on that experience. That's not something psychic. That's just recognizing a pattern and essentially calling out what the next step is going to be, whether it be if this gentleman, Sam over here, let's just say he's always late for work. Okay, let's just say he's always late coming mm-hmm. to the station. You don't have to be psychic to say, you know, it's 9:01, Sam's late. The pattern has told you that.
Right.
And, you know, when you start looking at the world from a perspective, like Steffi and I have had experiences, and it's really unusual where we've had similar types of people that have chosen similar choices.
Mm. Yeah, it depends on the crowd and what they're all seeing at the same time and if they read the same newspaper in the morning. And we were doing this one event with George Shivallo for the 50th anniversary of him knocking out Muhammad Ali.
Or no, fighting Muhammad Ali.
Oh, Muhammad Ali.
Not knocking him out. Oh, they went the whole round. He never knocked out Muhammad Ali, but they went toe to toe.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. I'm not versed on these things.
So it's okay.
Your media covered the fact that the Canadian boxer was the only one that Muhammad Ali didn't knock out.
Really?
There you go, America.
Negated it. It's great. It's great. So we were at that event, and a lot of people. We do this effect where we ask people to think of a celebrity. And a lot of people, I think that five people that night chose Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
And remember, this is in Canada. This is downtown Toronto in Canada. Five people chose Abraham Lincoln. A couple people chose Bill Clinton and Bush as well. Just a lot of Americans.
Wow, so presidents. That's
presidents.
What people were thinking
at this
of.
One wow. event for at,
no apparent reason.
And it comes up a lot, like Celine Dion multiple times at the same events, and Elvis comes up quite a bit. So we actually tell people not to pick Elvis. We're like, don't pick Elvis, because a lot of people pick Elvis.
Whoa, how interesting, right?
Do you ever find that when you're grocery shopping, everybody kind of is in the mood for the same thing?
Could be, yeah, absolutely.
When I was waitressing, I always used to notice that there would just be a day where everyone ordered the same thing.
Really?
Weirdly, for
it's
no...
It's funny you mention that. I worked in a kitchen many, 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 many moons ago, and I used to actually call out what the orders would be for the day, and I would make a ballpark. I'd say, okay, we have this game coming in. There's a game playing. This group of people are going to be coming in, and there's going to be this many this and this many that. And it was pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Steffi, you pointed on something there a moment ago where you said that, you know, maybe they're reading the same newspaper. Maybe they're watching the same television
shows. Or maybe at the event they were just at, or at the event that they are at, and there's a public speaker, and they mention something, and it makes them all tune into, oh, okay, I'm going to think about the penny right now. And now I'm thinking about Abraham Lincoln, and now therefore I'm going to say Abraham Lincoln.
Unknowingly.
Yeah,
so back
maybe
to the
it's
pattern,
mind control.
You're unknowingly doing it, so you think it's psychic,
right,
when in reality it isn't at all.
Right. And the amazing thing is it shows us how alike we are, you know, as
we're
people.
Very
so
alike.
Alike.
You
know?
We're
That's
very
true,
alike.
Right?
That was waitressing,
I mean,
too.
Because, you know, every time I read a book like study this or study that, it's like you realize everybody reacts and thinks pretty much similar to the way you do to certain situations,
yeah.
You know. So this is cool. So The Sentimentalists, an awesome name, of course, for a couple of mentalists. And they're going to show us a few more things.
So last night, we
yes.
were in town. And if we could time travel, we could bring all your listeners back to yesterday so they
okay.
can come to our show last night.
Okay.
Actually, we're going to be performing in town on Wednesday at the Beetle House.
You look this Wednesday?
This Wednesday in town in Hollywood at the Beetle House. You can come check us out. We'll be mingling with the crowd and entertaining and then doing some stage presentations. So you can really get a feel and experience it up close and personal.
Exactly. What
last night we did a show at the Bearded Lady Mystic Museum, and I love this place because it's an entire
gorgeous.
It's in Burbank, and it's an amazing museum dedicated to the preservation of the Ouija board.
Mm.
You know? And so we went in and we did a seance.
Really?
You know, before we started the show, I asked you a simple question. Have you ever had a ghostly encounter? And you said yes. Is that right?
I did. I told the long story.
can you and this has been sitting here the whole time, mm-hmm. right? And I haven't touched it or anything like that.
Nope.
In fact, I have
You were kind of playing with it.
Well, I was fidgeting with it.
Say what this is. You said this was sitting
here. These are four chalkboards, and you'll notice that there's really nothing written on them. There's a little bit of residue from
the
experiences.
Chalk, right.
It says, let's party. I don't know what that's from.
Okay, but, so we have four rectangles.
Four rectangles that are just sitting there. Can you touch two of those for me, please? Any two you like?
With the same?
Yes, please. It doesn't matter yet. We're going to get rid of these. And we won't.
Okay, she chose two of them, the outer ones.
And you can just hold your hand on top of there.
Okay.
In a nutshell, mm-hmm. do you want to tell the story really quickly of what happened to you?
In a nutshell, I was haunted.
Where did that happen?
I was in Newport, Rhode Island, and sleeping, and my friend and I were on this screened-in porch, and in the middle of the night, I woke up, and there were all these things that looked like, this sounds so crazy, spirits flying by, and then they kept flying up to my face and screaming, and I looked over at my friend, and he was just paralyzed with fear with his eyes open. And we sat there for a while, and then I went into my room and hid under the covers basically for the rest of the night. And he came in as well. And then my best friend, Sarah, who you all know now, she poked her head in the morning, and she was like, did you guys experience that haunting last night? It was crazy.
Yeah.
And she had her own experience where they were flying by, and she heard this like beautiful piano playing on our piano. And then the minute she became aware of it, they slammed on the piano and started screaming at her. And eventually she just slammed the window down and said, enough!
Yeah,
and then they went away.
And you've had other experiences too. So this wasn't the only
one. I've had, yeah.
You even said you had one where you knew the name of the spirit.
Mrs. Evans.
And who was that?
She was this ghost in my grandmother's house. It was just like, even my grandmother was like, oh, that's Mrs. Evans. And whenever we were sick at my grandmother, she would kind of hang out. And I guess she was the... She was the maid of the woman who lived in this house before. And when the people bought my grandparents' house after they passed away, they had to return. Someone found the picture of Mrs. Evans and brought it, and I guess she's never been seen again.
Oh, wow.
So it was this weird...
And you didn't tell me the name of Grandma.
No.
What's her first name?
Mary.
Okay, let me ask you a question, okay? There's no way I would know that. What does that say on that paper?
Mary.
and hold on a second. If there's a presence here in the room, I would like your time. I would like to ask you to make yourself felt and seen and for you to prove that perhaps, just perhaps right here today, that you can communicate with us. Steph, if I could just hold your hand for a moment, please. And if I could hold your hand... And if you could hold Sam's hand.
Okay, we're all holding hands.
Circle around these chalkboards that are sitting there. And you had the two experiences, one with a ghost on a porch and one with Mrs. Evans. I think it's done. Steph, I think it's done. Can you instruct her what to do?
If you would lift one of the chalkboards.
Okay, she has to lift.
Weird.
What does it
say? It says... Evans porch spirits.
And these were blank, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
What the F?
So it clearly appears that...
This is some magic, guys.
A spirit has communicated, or
it's
at least has appeared
magic.
To communicate it with you on a personal experience. And, of course, I wouldn't know your grandmother's name, and Steffi definitely wouldn't have known your friend's name, Sarah. So I'm just going to say that I highly recommend you go back to that Catholic church that you went to and just douse yourself in the holy water. Because
there
you go.
Black magic, guys.
Black magic right here, you see? Very cool. Let's give him a hand here.
Yeah,
you know?
That was impressive.
We need to have an audience.
Well played.
So very good, you know. So they're pulling all kinds of things here. And I'm blown away because these are new tricks that I haven't seen before. So it's
have
pretty
you seen
cool,
all
you know?
The tricks, Sam?
Not all
time?
Of them, but listen, no.
We
but
like
they
to call them effects and demonstrations.
Effects,
yeah.
That's right. That's what Steffi was saying, effects. But no, they did a few here and then a few at the show, but they keep it fresh, you know. And that's the cool thing. And you know what? I don't mind what goes on between them. I just, if they can do it, then it's fine. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, to me, that's good enough because I'm entertained, and it's like you're surprising us with things, you know? So that's the amazing thing. You're not going for easy things, you know, that you may have heard before. So.
Talk about easy. I mean, this is what we're about to do when we return on Thursday. We go home to Toronto. And on this weekend coming up, we're going to be demonstrating an effect that's never been done in magic. And it's a play on something that happened in the 1950s.
The early 1950s with the Piddingtons, Leslie and Sidney Piddington. They were a married couple, and Sidney was on the ground, and Leslie was up in an airplane. And on the ground, Sidney had a congregation of people, and they all came together and came up with a sentence. Beautiful sentence, like they wrote something very lovely, and Sidney looked at it and without saying a word sent it to Leslie and up in the sky, and she recited the line. From the
this
airplane.
Was on the BBC. And so on Saturday, this coming Saturday, Steffi is for the first time in Toronto going. This has never been done in Toronto, a hot air balloon over our city because of air traffic. She's going in a hot air balloon.
Wow.
We've stopped air traffic through Hendrick's Gin. It's put this whole project together and part of the Taste the Unusual campaign for Nuit Blanche in Toronto. And so Hendrick's has a giant custom built balloon for Steffi to go above the city hall, and our mayor is going to write down some phrases, and one's going to be chosen, and the same way she's going to, with a megaphone, call down the words that are on that piece of paper.
Wow.
To my knowledge, Chris, it's never been
you
done
got
like
the
that.
Mayor, be
like
you got that. The mayor involved in this?
The mayor is involved.
Wow, I salute you, man.
Listen,
that's
apparently,
awesome.
From what I understand, what was it, 400 media representatives are coming to this with all over the world, and I told you that, and you didn't believe me.
No,
I got an email, and I went, wow, that's a lot of people we're going to have to impress.
I thought it was going to be like, buy Hendrick's Gin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen.
This is the sentence I got.
They're a great company. They're so, and I'm not giving them a pitch by no means. I'm telling you truthfully.
Why not? Yeah,
they are a great company. Forget about the alcohol itself. I mean, I don't even drink.
Right.
But as a company, they support artists. Mm-hmm. They hire artists, and they come up with incredibly fun and creative advertising campaigns that really capture vintage circus and sideshow and the magic of that world. And they have a wonderful campaign, and they brought Steffi and I on because our brands are very similar, and we've done a lot of work for them, and I'm very happy to be part of their project.
Very nice, guys. You see, I mean, they created themselves a nice niche where they're excellent at, you know, and that's it. You know, I mean, You want to get to the point where when people think mentalists, they think of you guys, you know?
I hope so.
Yeah, just like they used to have the guys, the older guys. What was his name, the famous one?
Well, Kreskin.
Yes, Kreskin, of course. That was like the 70s, right?
60s, 70s.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he was like that, you know? And so do you guys like... I mean, do you consider it like an inspiration when you look at his stuff?
I or loved
you
Kreskin
don't really care?
Growing up.
Really? So that's what, like, probably got you turned on to this stuff.
Look at my glasses, for crying out loud.
Yeah. That's true. How did you guys get into this?
I watched Kreskin growing up.
Really?
I used to watch Kreskin on television. He would take cards with symbols. Remember, he would take the cards with the symbols?
Yeah, he's showing me cards with symbols.
And then he would mix them up.
He's mixing them up.
And then he would say, you know, to the audience, he would pull this whole thing out of nowhere, and he would say something
playing
like,
cards, guys.
And the images are on the cards. There's an umbrella and an egg and a triangle and all these different shapes. And he would say to the audience, you know, in his way, he would look out into the audience and he would say, all right, I want everyone here to focus on a number between 1 and 30, and thinking about a number right now and putting it out there and putting it out there and putting it out there. And Sam, I'm going to tell you right now the number with my mind, the number, say your number out loud, go.
18.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 cards. Now let me ask you a question. Is there any reason why you picked the 18th card in that sequence? Is there any reason why?
No.
There's no reason.
No reason.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's kind of weird because the 18th card is what is that shape? Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, it's like a vase or something?
It's a vase or a jug, and they're all different.
Right. Hold on, I can't see the other stuff.
Oh, they're all there. You can
Yeah. Different pictures.
And
okay.
Yeah. And you have a card sitting in front of you.
Yes, I do.
It's been there the whole time.
It's been here the whole time.
And you wouldn't have known that number 18 is what I was sending into your mind?
Right.
Can you tell me what...
Vase.
Dun.
The same card. So, wow.
So that would have been something that he would have done.
Right.
And it's funny because we didn't discuss this and I knew you would ask about Kreskin, so I brought that because that was something that he would have done. And I would watch that and go, good God,
this guy's a superhero.
He doesn't have a cape, he's got glasses and a weird haircut, and I loved him. I thought, this guy's awesome, you know. And I had to do, and I mean, I've met him many, many times, and I've seen him live. He's come to town, Toronto at least, many times, and we've chatted, and he's an amazing entertainer. And now Steffi and I are connected in what we do and taking it to another direction.
Yeah, that's awesome, you know, because it's like, You created something different where it's the two of you, you know, and it's like communicating between the two of you. And I think that adds kind of like a sense of depth to it, I think, you know.
How did you get into it? I mean,
how did you go about it? Like,
well, just how did you meet and how did you decide that this was what you're, you know, you seem very dedicated to your craft, obviously, and... I'm just curious as to a little bit of the origin story. How did the act come together? Tell me everything.
Yes. Okay, let's hear. She was already asking him if they're married and all this stuff. What a nosy.
I'm so nosy.
Co-host we have today.
I'm not. No, questions are great.
Yeah, awesome. Go ahead.
I'm very curious, Sam.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead. So how did it come about?
Well, we were at a talent show. Well, I was performing at a talent show and Mysterion was the host of the talent show.
What were you performing?
I was drawing pictures live on stage because I used to do art. I'm a has-been artist.
Speed drawing.
Cool. So I speed drew a pinup girl, and he came up to me after and he's like, oh, that's an awesome pinup girl, and we've just been best friends ever since. So while I was being an artist and doing art, I was also selling vintage clothing, and I was kind of taking a break from everything. And during that break, we became super close friends, and I would drive him to all of his shows, and I'd be wearing all my vintage dresses and all my vintage outfits, and so I'd be able to go in with him to his events. I wouldn't have to sit in the car. I can't wear jeans and a t-shirt to go into a wedding. Like, that doesn't, you know. So he'd bring me in with him, and then over time he started incorporating me little by little into the shows. He would just ask me things, or he'd ask me to do things, and then I had more interest in it than just a superficial, oh, that's cool, oh, that's nice, you know, like, neat, right? No, I was so into it. I was already collecting magic books before I met him.
Right.
And he brought me in with him, and then we started working on a two-person act together. We started, actually, there's a bar in Toronto, and they have all these really avant-garde acts. We really wanted to do it, and I really wanted to do it because I'm thinking, well, I get to wear all my cool vintage, right? And so we were preparing for it, and then they turned on us and they said, you know, we love it, but the talking acts aren't doing well. It has to be an entirely silent act.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had this, nothing like what we do now. Our talking act was nothing like what we do now. It was mostly Mysterion doing things, and I was just kind of helping.
Mm-hmm.
But there was talking involved. And so they said, we want it completely silent. So we went, all right, I guess we're going to have a silent act. So we crafted this whole routine of 15 minutes that's just no words.
Tables levitating, yes. And a ghost.
Wow.
And
very impressive.
And before we even got to do it, they were like, yeah, no, just kidding. We don't want any stage acts like that.
They cut us before they even saw us.
Yeah.
Really?
So after that, we really liked working together, like doing something more immersive with each other, and not just me helping as the assistant. And so that's when we were like, okay, we're gonna do 50-50 and everything is equal.
And how long have you been a team like that?
A year and 8 months, give or take.
Not a very long time, and in that time we've done quite a bit.
It feels very longer.
We've probably done about 500 shows
Wow.
as a team.
Oh,
I've done.
That's very good. So that makes you even better all the time, right? You just keep improving and everything.
It's great.
And do you? So do you continuously come up with effects and new stuff?
Yeah.
Really?
I know.
So now let me ask you this. I mean, you guys choose the stuff you do, but can you do something without, like, say, planning? In other words, if you remember when Rachel was here, and I don't want to tell Bridget what it was, so if you remember, you did one thing to one person and the other one.
I know.
Can
what
you
you're
do that?
About with her.
Yeah.
Can you come here first? Can I? I'm going to walk over to you.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to take a moment, and I want you to focus on Sam.
Right.
And you have to keep your eyes closed. Now, Sam, you're going to validate everything that happens for her. Do you understand?
Right. Right. Exactly.
And we're going to use her. And do you want to use you, or do you want to use Steffi? It's up to you.
Right. Oh no, no. You do the act the way you want. That's fine.
We'll use Steffi.
Okay.
What did you just feel? Show me where I tapped you a second ago.
Me?
Yes.
Oh. right here.
Really? On the side?
That?
Yeah.
On the side?
And under my arm. Like on the back on my arm.
Okay, so he tapped Steffi on the back.
I was actually.
And you felt it. He never touched you.
Open your eyes.
Well, because he touched me before.
I never touched you once. My hands were like this, and Sam was watching the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
When your eyes were closed, I was tapping Steffi's side, and you were responding.
Yeah, wow. There you go. You
open
see?
Wait, I'm confused. So,
okay.
He tapped her.
No, when he was over here,
no,
I felt him
I was
him
nowhere near
me.
You the entire time. Sam was watching the entire time.
No, but you were standing there. You just moved later, but we're talking about later, after that.
Here, watch this. After watch this. Close your eyes, Steph. Yeah. Here, open your eyes. Draw a number on my hand between 1 and 1,000 with your finger. Do that again, please. How about that now?
I think that's an 8. Was that an 8?
Mm-hmm.
And then a 9.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She can feel it back and forth. And
yeah, yeah. You see, she's like, he's the conduit, you know. He can feel everything that you feel through, or she can through him.
Mm-hmm. So, ladies, imagine what else I can do. There's something
for you,
boy.
All right.
Actually, I like what you said earlier on. You said, you know, this is a study of sexuality and the study of evolution. And, you know, how did you word that? You said that it was the evolution of humankind, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first thing that popped to my head, and I thought, gee, I go, in my mind, I said, 10,000 years of men evolving, and we still don't got it right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You've only really
had
to work on it for like the past 50.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
But if you noticed, they keep going back to things we said. So you guys really pay attention to what people say, right?
Oh, we have to.
That's part of it. Yeah, that's the thing. You have to understand what's going on. They're very aware people, and I bet you this helps you in your life too, right? Nothing escapes you, right?
Probably not her.
You with me all the time.
Yeah, I can be a little bit on occasion.
He's always texting.
Yes, distracted.
Yes,
and that's me. I know,
but it's not just you, man. The whole friggin' generation today. We all are connected to our screens, you know, and that's I don't know where it's going, but. I mean, everywhere I look, I read about this and how it's becoming terrible, you know?
You know, we use our phones so much.
Right.
Do you have your phone on you?
Of course I do.
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Could you try this with me?
Yes.
And I'm going to show you the impossibility of this to work. I'm actually going to come over there to you because it's going to make a lot more sense.
Okay.
And it's going to expedite it for the listener. Okay. I'm going to open up my phone's calculator.
Okay.
Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to come up with a number.
Okay.
And what I want you to do is open up Google. You can open up your Google.
Yeah, open up Google.
And I'm going to take it because I know how to make this quick. I'm going to type in a question.
Okay.
The question is if you could put it into English.
Okay, yes, I will. It's in Hebrew then.
Right. Oh, so you don't know Hebrew, huh?
I do know. Oh, you mean him. How many articles are on Wikipedia is what he typed.
Okay, and then there's a question that I'm going to ask you to answer that question right there. How many right now are on Wikipedia?
5,477,585.
That's correct, right?
Right.
And what I want you to do right now is I want you to notice that there are that many articles on Wikipedia.
Right.
Now, what you're going to do now is you're going to help me with this. You're going to tell everybody how many words are on Wikipedia per article, if you could tell everyone that.
Per article, where does it say?
Right there.
Oh, 1,147.
Okay. What I want you to do is we're going to visit Wikipedia.
Okay, visit Wikipedia.
Okay, and I want you to go into Wikipedia right now.
Uh-huh.
I want you to go into there right now, and I want you
okay.
to type in any article whatsoever. Steffi's going to try.
Okay, where do I type it in, though? In here, in the search?
You do it. I don't know. Maybe. Let's see. You know what? I tell you what. Why don't we just do this?
Okay.
Why don't we just forget about Wikipedia?
Okay.
I'll just do this. Here, we're going to go back into Wikipedia just to give them an example of how many words there are on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Type in any article on Wikipedia, anything at all.
Okay. I want an article on...
Don't say what it is.
Okay.
It's my job.
See, we're connected by phones, but Steffi and I are connected by brains.
Right.
So I want to show you how it can actually cross over from one to the other.
Right.
And now, just looking at that.
Right.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Concentrate.
Okay.
Imagine what you see.
Right.
Something to do with military?
Oh my God.
The army.
Yeah. That's exactly what he picked.
Yeah.
And now here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna scroll up. And she can't see. There's no mirrors or anything. We're going to go up and just say stop it. And, okay, there's all these different sections. So pick one, just touch one and open it up.
Right.
We're opening up a subsection of the article.
Okay, references.
Just, perfect. And just touch it. What word? Just show me a word, but don't touch the screen. Just point to one.
Right, okay.
Any word at all. Which
I
one?
I just pointed meaning.
Oh, don't say it.
Oh, okay. Let me do it again.
Yeah, that makes it so much easier, Sam.
I'm sorry, man.
It's okay.
Okay, right there.
Okay.
Okay.
Just think of that word.
Okay.
I really want you to focus on her.
No.
No, you know? Okay. Perhaps she can't get it.
Is it okay? Something like to get?
Yeah.
Yes.
Retrieve.
Retrieve. That's the word. Wow.
And, you know,
yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't know what you would pick. That's your phone.
Right.
She's here.
Different numbers. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a phone or a real book.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is.
I mean, I'm very impressed. Very.
Thank you.
I got what you did, and I mean, not that I understand, but I understand the effect.
Yeah.
And it's very impressive to
and
me.
I literally, I kid you not,
right.
made that up on the spot.
Right. Now,
just
let me ask you this. Did okay, you asked me about numbers, okay?
Yes.
I don't know. Was that important to the
effect? I wanted to show that there were, 5 million articles on Wikipedia?
I see.
1,000-plus words on each article, and then
right.
she was able to guess not only the article, but one of the random words.
Yeah, wow.
Just the statistical odds of that just being a fluke is
That's
true.
That's amazing. Guys, you're awesome, man. So tell people where they can find you, where they come to see you, because that's the important thing here.
We're in town. We're going to be at the Beetle Bar. You can Google the address of the Beetle Bar. The Beetle House, I'm sorry.
The Beetle House. That's where? In Hollywood,
it's in
L.A.?
It's in Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah.
It's in L.A.
Okay.
It's in Hollywood. And it's a Tim Burton-themed venue. It's
very
fun.
How cool.
And so we're going to be doing some fun magic there. You can meet us and experience it firsthand.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be back in town in February for
cool.
an extended visit. We got our permits before your lovely president came into power.
Yeah.
No, we're able to come back.
He hates Canadians, too.
No, I don't think so. Put up a big ice wall, you know what I mean? We're going to be back in February for an extended stay, and we're going to be doing quite a bit in town. And we'll come back and join you and visit you
We're
again.
Very excited for you.
I'm a big supporter of you.
You guys are amazing. You're nice people on top of everything of being talented in what you do.
If you go on Facebook, the best way for anybody listening to find us is to just type in The Sentimentalists. Like our page. There's all sorts of links to all the other social media, YouTube, this sort of thing. And you can watch it and you can see it happening because you're only hearing it now. Right. And theater of the mind's important. But when you're seeing it and you're seeing it with, you know, celebrities and people that you trust from the media and you're watching it happen, you know, you can talk on my behalf that this isn't set up.
No.
We don't trust
guys,
the media.
Yeah, I mean,
you are
you know
the
better,
media.
You know better.
Fake news.
We have no interest in misleading anybody. I mean, we're here to be entertained. Were you entertained, Bridget?
I was very entertained.
Awesome.
Here's the most crazy thing. Little does she realize, Bridget, I want you to think right now of the name of a famous celebrity and say the name out loud. Go for it.
Brad Pitt.
Before you sat down, I actually put something you didn't see inside your coffee cup, a folded piece of paper with a word. Yeah, open up the cup. Open it right up. And what is in there?
Nothing.
No, that would have been a cool trick, though.
Mysterion. Yeah.
Huh?
No, we're not leaving on that.
Okay, but do it quickly because we got to go, guys.
Quick.
But, okay. What are you going to do?
Image on your phone.
Open up your phone really quick.
Yeah.
Open it to a photo on your phone of anything at all. It doesn't matter what it is.
Can it be a naked selfie?
Sure, why not?
Oh, good.
It can be fine. No, it can be anything at all. And folks, we're going to make this really quick. I want you to find a photo of something. You know, most people actually, it's a selfie. That's what they'll show us.
Yeah, right.
And then it's a pet or food. Right. Or a child, you know, children in their family. Those are the common things.
Right.
We're going to stay away from the common things.
Right.
All right. I picked something.
Okay, no hints.
This is it?
Can it be that?
It can be that.
Just put that in her mind. Okay. You have it? Okay. Keep thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing something.
Imagine what it is, sort of thing.
It's your name.
Yeah.
Isn't that Fetacy?
Whoa.
Right, there's writing there. It's writing.
Mm-hmm.
Fetacy, wow, there
color?
You go.
Send the color over that.
Is it, white.
Have you got the other color there?
Pink.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's my logo.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys. We got to go. Mysterion, right. Steffi K, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're amazing. Everybody, go follow them. Go to the shows. You'll be amazingly impressed and great people. Bridget, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're coming back tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Follow me on Twitter, Bridget Fetacy.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.